views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience inspiration, creativity, and knowledge. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted artists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. You can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all radio show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. Well, today's show is about something that's really important to me and to many other people, which is art, creativity, and the nature of reality. So have you ever wondered how people make visionary art, or how you could make visionary art? Have you thought about where the inspiration for this art comes from and what this art can teach us about ourselves, about our world, about consciousness, and about the nature of our quest for truth? Are you just curious about digital mediums, or maybe you're looking to develop your own artistic talent and you don't know where to start? Or maybe you're really into the visionary culture and visionary art scene and you're wondering where the future of this movement might be going. So today I am absolutely thrilled to welcome one of my favorite artists, someone who is a true innovator in the field of visionary art and a pioneer of a style of electrominimalism, who is Mr. Android Jones. And, you know, we know so much about the art, and this is such an amazing opportunity to get to know the artist, you know, the man behind the art. So let's please welcome Android to the show. Welcome, Android.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Dude, awesome. thank you so much for coming on the show. And I guess the best place to start is a little bit about your story. I would love to know how you got into art.
Sure. Well, it's a pretty long story. I got into art. I think I started really kind of gravitating towards making images at around 5 or 6. It was something that I just showed a lot of interest in and focus, and it really held my attention. My parents were really supportive. I was like their firstborn son, and we lived out in Colorado on a farm, and so there's a lot of time on my hands and enough isolation. And with the encouragement of my parents and the isolation and access to materials, it was something that they encouraged a lot. And as I grew up, I kept getting pulled more and more towards making these images. And it became something that I think it became almost kind of a second nature, and it really became a way for me to communicate to other people, to show my appreciation. And as you develop as a child, you start, I think everybody starts as an artist, and culture or society or the pressure surrounding us kind of force us out of that and to choose different paths. And for me, I think I put so much emphasis on art, I never really developed in any other skills. I was really small. I was always picked last on the kickball team. I know it's really terrible. I was slightly dyslexic, I think, so math and spelling were never a real draw for me. And so it's just I kind of painted myself in a corner.
And literally.
It gave me an overwhelming amount of enjoyment to kind of create these worlds for my imagination. And different things that happened in my life, and there were different shifts that kept pushing me towards that. And I think I just I was reckless enough to really not question it and not look back. And I've been following that ever since.
You know, I love how you talk about art as language, that this was a way of communicating with the world. And in many ways, your art does almost seem to reflect a different world and a different language, something that we all resonate with, but that maybe we don't understand when we first see it, but it grabs us. Is that your intention when you're creating this art, is to kind of create this language and communicate a whole feeling and a whole experience for people?
I think art really gives us the opportunity to communicate and on a universal level that goes beyond words. For me, it's really about trying to connect with people, connect to different emotions and ideas, different elements of trying to kind of expand what people think is possible. And but, you know, as far as like a language, for me growing up, it was definitely, I think it was a love language, you know, it was a way that it was kind of in the five love languages, it would fall under probably like the gifts, acts of service and like gifts of appreciation. It was something that I could offer people and I could tell that it had a real value. And I might not have understood that value for a long time, but as we develop in this world, it became really clear that this was probably the most valuable way that I could interact with people and show my appreciation for being alive and my appreciation to Creator for having these opportunities and these tools and these amazing mediums to experiment and communicate with.
It's beautiful. For those of our listeners who aren't familiar with the five love languages, it's just the idea that we give and receive love in different ways. And so Android brings up gifts and acts of service. There's also physical touch, quality time, and words of affirmation. And we're going to do a whole show on this later this year, but I'm glad you brought that up. Sometimes the way that we love doesn't look like our society's kind of traditional reinforced notion of love. It looks and feels very different, but that doesn't make it any less valid. And certainly being able to create and expand and push our boundaries with exciting images, that's like a really deep way of loving. And it's funny. Yeah, sorry.
No, I think it's also there's the altruistic aspect of it as that, and from the evolutionary biologist perspective, it's also a very advanced form of signaling to the opposite sex in the tribe. And you know, I figured it out pretty clearly that I wasn't gonna impress the girls with my football skills or my high SAT scores, and you know, from the point of you know, the evolution kind of like our, you know, peacocking and being able to impress people around us. I think art, you know, I didn't have any real musical talent. I wasn't going to get it, you know, go into a band, start a band or anything. But, yeah, art became a great way to signal, you know, my potential value to the world and attract the kind of people around me that I wanted to spend my time with.
And has that worked into your adult life? Has your love life always kind of been paralleled to your art life? Have you seen, you know, have you seen shifts that are like, or has it just been kind of like these girls just swoon over you because this art is just so amazing? Because I can totally see that.
It's to their detriment. I can say in my 20s, I mean, meeting a girl at a bar and asking her if I could draw her portrait, I think that still is like the best pickup line I could have came up with for sure. So
totally. but it has to be a nude portrait, you know? yeah. You know, I want to talk about a little more about your techniques and your style, shifting from kind of the more traditional, because you started with traditional medias, right? I mean, I imagine, especially in childhood and adolescence, you probably didn't have access to the digital tools that we have now.
Yeah, no, they weren't around. And I've got a pretty deep academic background in drawing and painting. I went through the evolution from crayons to colored pencils to markers to acrylics to oils. I tried some sculpting for a while, even some metal work. And I also went to school. I majored in computer animation, but on the summers I would attend the Boulder Atelier of Fine Art. And I was taught by a master named L.V. Davis, who was taught by the apprentice of a very famous painter named John Singer Sargent. And he taught me this
this alla prima technique, which is a combination of very intentional strokes, highly refined understanding of anatomy and the use of color. And we did a lot of cast studies. I took a semester and dissected cadavers to make studies and drawings of anatomy. And I have a real deep respect and love for traditional painting and using these kind of organic mediums. But in about, I think, around 95, 96 is when I was exposed to my first Wacom tablet. And I think just seeing the potential that it had back then, I could see that this was a new kind of a new frontier and a new opportunity to express creativity and consciousness. And I made a pretty, you know, it was a hard decision because I had to give up a lot of what was comfortable and romantic to me in the traditional realms, but it's also been kind of a line in the sand that I made, and I really haven't looked back too much from that either.
So you started with digital media in like 95, 96?
Yeah, pretty much. I exposed to a little bit of Photoshop with a mouse at the end of high school, but I really dove into it around probably 96.
So you really got a head start as far as growing up and honing your skills kind of as the technology is developing as well, synchronistically.
Well, I mean, I really took my cues from art history. And when I looked at all the artists that I admired the most, the Velazquez and Rubens and Rembrandt and all these academic masters, if you read into them, each of them, they use the most advanced forms of brushes and paints and camera obscuras and canvases that were available to them. You know, there were no Luddites. There weren't a lot of people that were hanging on to cave painting. They were very progressive. And they were really at the cutting edge of any creative tool that was available to them. And so I tried to follow their example.
That's so fascinating. We're going to talk so much more about digital media as soon as we get back from the break. I really want to hear more about this and how you've developed your own unique style. So as soon as we get back on Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly, we are going to talk more about technology and truth and society and culture and all these great things with visionary artist Andre Jones. So stay tuned and we will be right back. Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Tune in to the hit show Master's Chambers with your trusted friend, Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will connect you with the best of the best thought leaders from around the globe to share their strategies and best practices. Getting better together. To book Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit jenroyster.com for more information.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
What's up? We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is world-renowned visual artist Andre Jones, who is talking with us about the creative process, digital art, truth, consciousness, society. But before we continue, I just want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you, Andre. Could you give your contact info to our listeners, tell them how to see your art, your galleries, order prints, get in touch, find out more about you?
Sure. My website is androidjones.com. I've got the whole menagerie of Facebook, Instagram, Vimeo, all of those social opportunities and portals to reach me there. And yeah, all the work's on the website, along with a lot of different videos and interviews and all the media that I have time to make.
Which is quite a lot. So moving forward, before the break, we were talking about kind of honing your digital self, your digital creative techniques, and how they actually came from some of the really old school painters and classical artists. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that and how that translates from a medium of, you know, vegetable and animal to a medium of digital?
Yeah, well, if you look throughout our history, you know, most of the documented creative experiences that we have in the records reflect, you know, if you kind of think about it, the media, the animal and vegetable mediums, meaning like, you know, we first started expressing creativity through, you know, beyond dance and song and poetry, through animal skins we turned into drums. We used rocks and we started scratching our way onto walls. Paintbrushes are largely made up of animal hair, pieces of wood, papyrus. All these are vegetable type of mediums, the pigments we made. And so the dominant medium of our creative expression, the limitations were really within this animal and vegetable kingdom for a really long time. And then we started getting into more of the mineral aspects. And so when I use the term electromineralism, it was a way of me really trying to redefine the framework of the mediums that I use, because it seems like we make this distinction between these traditional realms and these digital realms. But at the end of the day, my laptop, you know, it didn't come from another planet. It's all just the conscious manipulation of our beloved Mother Earth. It's full of zinc and magnesium and
petrochemicals. Yes,
quartz crystals.
Yeah.
Crystals in the computers, yeah. So
yeah. I say that all the time. I'm like, your computer and phone is made of crystals, bro. Anyway,
and it's powered by this amazing electricity. Is really kind of the juice that makes it all happen. And when you get down to kind of, if you want to look at things from the molecular and the chemical level, you know, our dreams and our ideas and our imaginations are these neurochemical electrical impulses in our imaginations. And so, for me, I found that using electricity was actually one of the purest type of mediums for creativity that I had access to. And it's in the genesis of my creative identity, it's been such an overwhelming yes to want to kind of just explore as much as I can within the framework of these amazing pieces of hardware and software
that keep developing and improving, you know, quarter and after year after year. So it, and as an artist too, you know, any, whether it's myself or an artist that was alive, you know, 100 years ago or 500, if you're talking about two-dimensional, you know, I'll use the term painting, what we're really doing, if you kind of break it down, it's all a type of illusion at the end of the day. Really what we're doing is we're manipulating line, color, form, and shapes to create this, this sort of fabrication of a composition. And really where a piece of art really lives, you know, it's not necessarily a gallery or museum, but it's really inside, you know, kind of the mausoleum of another person's imagination. It's consciousness ability to, we have an amazing shape recognition technology called our neocortex that turns these, that's very uncomfortable with chaos. And so when we see anything abstract, we have a tendency to turn it into something that's more objective and tangible with our subjective imagination. So at the end of the day, I find that these digital tools offer me the widest array of freedom and opportunity to create an unlimited amount of colors and shapes that then, if I arrange them in the right way, they'll translate into something more objective when people view the images.
You know, that feels so much like the emerging understanding of our consciousness and reality anyway, that the physical world is an illusion, that our brain is really downloading consciousness, and that, you know, the observer changes the outcome. So by looking at something, we make it what it is through our interpretation of it. So it's funny. So what you're talking about with the artistic process, it's just actually helping us to understand the way we also interpret our reality too.
Yeah, absolutely. And why not use the most advanced tools we have to try to, you know, peck away at this incredible mystery that is life and consciousness and reality. And if it is all, you know, I tend to be more of the holographic universe perspective. What's real at all? You know, what's the difference between a rock and a pixel and all these things? You know, it's bits of information kind of at the end of the day. And so I've just chosen to use a medium that allows me the greatest range of creative strokes possible.
So I have to ask, I mean, so many people resonate with your work. It celebrates life on so many levels. I know here at Lucid Planet, we're huge fans. I mean, and just want to thank you on the air for allowing us to use your art on our website, lucidplanet.com. So amazing. And I guess my question is, where are you getting this content from? Are you channeling it? Are these alternate realities that you visited? You know, did you just do so much acid that you just see all these crazy colors and patterns that we don't see? Like, where does this come from? Because it's so far out and it's so profound. And I would just love to know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably all of the above.
Right on.
It's a combination of all the things that I've had the opportunity to expose myself in kind of my short lifetime. It's a way of reflecting all the different experience that I've had. I'd say the majority of it, my process is much more intuitive than it is visionary. I don't necessarily have an image in my mind's eye of what I'm going to work when I start. Kind of start with this void of this blank canvas, and I start to explore that using emotions. I'm inspired by music, by the natural world, and it's really about kind of trying to hone in on a specific emotion. And intuitively, as I'm working on a piece, I can kind of essentially kind of feel if a stroke is in the right place or the wrong place. And it's just a huge kind of game of kind of hide and seek and lost and found until images start to kind of emerge on their own. And then there's layers of a conversation and a narrative that starts to develop. And the first layer is kind of me and my own conscious mind. And if I get deeper into that, it usually goes into a subconscious. And in some rare opportunities, as the story develops, there's a greater narrative that takes place. It almost feels like I'm You know, I want to get to the point where I'm feeling like I'm just an instrument of something greater. Like I can't, I'm a little intrepidatious of using the word, you know, channeling, but I definitely, you know, I want to put myself in the mindset that I'm serving. So I'd like to imagine that I'm serving something greater, and I don't claim an ownership that all these ideas are coming right from me, because I see everything, everything that I do is connected to something else and another experience and another person. And it's much more of a web than it is kind of a straight line.
Yes. Do you believe in the kind of new sphere or like the collective consciousness, that we're all downloading consciousness through our individual brains, but we're all connected to that same source?
I certainly prescribe to more the idea that we are kind of essentially what you're doing. We're more of a like radios that are dialing in a frequency than if it was emitted from our own being. Certainly,
I think
there's a lot of interesting ideas around the noosphere.
There is, and you know, that's, I guess we could have a whole other show just talking about that, and maybe we will in the future. I know I had Jamie Janover on a couple weeks ago, who's the director of Sonic Bloom, and we'll both be at Sonic Bloom doing workshops next week,
right,
which would be really cool. So if you guys, if you want to see Android in action, if you want to see, I heard there's going to be like an Android forest or something, like I can't remember, all your art on display in a forest. Is that true?
Yeah, we're going to take advantage of the natural landscape and trees and kind of make a little droid grove of
droid grove. There you go, droid grove. I knew it was something cool like that. So we're going to continue after the break. We're going to talk about kind of, for our listeners out there, helping to find your creative voice and talking a little bit about flow and connecting to flow and where the source of all this information is coming from. So again, I'm Dr. Kelly and you're listening to Lucid Planet Radio. Stay tuned. When we come back, Andrew Jones will talk a little bit more about art and visionary culture and creativity and droid groves and awesome stuff. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back in a couple minutes.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start willing the game of life with the unique and incomparable Lynn Brown. As an intuitive healer and experienced business manager, Lynn can help you live your life to its full potential. To learn more about Lynn, visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, letter U, intuit.com.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Ali Katz. Join Ali and Dr. Pat as Ali introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Ali, visit ATOZENmeditation.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
1230 WBLQ.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I have with me here visionary artist Andre Jones. We're talking about visionary art, culture, consciousness, reality, and we're going to talk a little bit right now about pursuing a career as an artist and finding your artistic voice. Android, you said earlier that everybody is an artist, and I totally agree. But sometimes, you know, we lose track of it. We get pushed into careers. We get pressured by our families. And there's this kind of stigma like, oh, you can't make a living as an artist. So you have to go be a banker or work on Wall Street or whatever, or even just, you know, have a normal job. You can't just be a creative person. And, you know, through time, people can kind of forget the artist within. And for you as someone who kind of has always maintained a strong connection to that inner artist, I'm wondering if you have any advice for people who are looking to explore their artistic ability or reclaim their artistic ability, or even people who are artists who are looking to kind of further hone their artistic ability.
Yeah. Well, I think that what I've realized through my career and my experience is that I think one of the most important intentions to kind of set out with is really to try to find a way to be as much of service as possible. And when it comes to a career, you know, what we're really talking about is establishing a way of exchanging value with other human beings. You know, we live on a planet in this paradigm where we kind of have to pay to live. And I learned early on too that, you know, there's no real free rides, and there was going to be a way where I was going to somehow have to commodify the creative experience, which is, you know, part revolting and part kind of an exciting adventure to explore. But I think for me, it really just comes down to I need to make sure and be really conscious and intentional that what I'm creating is of a value to people around me. Sometimes a lot of people, they struggle in their art because they might not be aware of it, but the art might be maybe a word like self-indulgent a lot of the time. Sometimes art can be a personal therapy, and that's amazing too. But if the art isn't serving some type of basic human need, you know, as long as you can put yourself in that framework that the work you're making makes a measurable difference in someone else's life. And I think I'll end with the most important thing that I realized when it comes to this exchanging of value with other people is that for many years I was under the false impression that I was selling paintings or holograms or limited edition prints or these images. I really focused on the output of what that was. But it took years for me to realize that what I'm really selling is when someone, it comes down to the psychology of buying something. What you think that you're making exchange for this, you know, this molecular object of some kind, but really when someone makes a decision to buy something, they might not be aware of it, but they're not really buying this painting or this t-shirt or these leggings. What they're buying is they're buying the potential of themselves in the future with this object or product or service. So do you understand what that is? They're really, I'm really, instead of selling a painting, I'm hopefully selling an improved version of themselves when they own this in the future. And as long as the value that I'm giving them is worth more than the amount that I'm asking for it, I make a sale. And when it's not, I don't make a sale. But then that's the easiest way and the most simplistic way I can put it.
That is a fascinating perspective. I mean, I'm a psychologist and I own a lot of art. My boyfriend and I, it's one of those few things that, you know, it doesn't seem functional explicitly, right? But it brings you so much joy. and it enriches your space and your life. I do own a few of your prints. We have the humming dragon above our bed and a couple other ones. We don't own any of your originals yet, but maybe one day if the show does well. but this idea of making a difference, because so many of us, really, we live our lives and we want to make a difference and we don't know how to make a difference and we don't know what that looks like. But it really can be something as simple as making art that's beautiful, that people want to be around, and that art makes people feel happy or evokes some emotion in them that then is satisfying and enhances their quality of life. And that's a really, really cool way of looking at art. And I'm not sure that many people are necessarily on that level with it. A lot of artists don't want to commoditize because they feel that it's kind of wrong and that it degrades, you know, their individual expression. But we live in a world where, to me at least, money is part of our, it's part of our energetic exchange. It's not the entire exchange, but it's one part of the exchange. So if you're doing something and you're on top of your game and people resonate with it and they want to be part of that, then that exchange helps to solidify in both cases the continuation of that behavior. And this takes me to, unless you wanted to say something on that.
I was just going to say that the way of thinking of it is money is just, it's a small metric of success. And as an art, you know, the challenge that I give to my students or anyone that's looking for advice is, what you want to create an enormous amount of value that you put out in the world. And then you want to just be able to harvest a fraction of that value. So I think the real key is to always be giving out much more than you're taking back in. Otherwise, you're a vampire.
You know? Absolutely. Well, and you know, when you realize like abundance happens, the more that you can give, then the more you put that energy out there and the universe returns it with pretty much anything that you need will start coming and flow. It's this, I've seen it happen. And I just wonder if kind of the new emerging visionary culture that's coming, that's happening, that we're all part of, I want to talk about that and how these festivals like Sonic Bloom, or I'm heading to Firefly tomorrow, how these events, everybody brings their crafts, and it's kind of this little mini marketplace where people are trying to make a living by providing their art, their gift to their community. And I always bring cash to these events solely so that I can support the vendors who are members of my community, not big corporations having their items manufactured in China, but actual people that I can connect with, that they've made something with their own hands, and then I can then exchange with them to own a part of that energy. And through that, the exchange is helping them to facilitate their dream in life of being self-sufficient as an artist working for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I feel like from that perspective, we're all in this visionary culture. We're all seeing the world in a different way. It's not just about getting things as cheap as you can. It's about actually using your money intentionally to support projects, people, art, ideas that truly matter to you.
Yeah, for sure. There's value in that, definitely.
Yeah, I think so. So we're going into break pretty soon, but I just wanted to quickly ask you, how do you define visionary culture?
Let's get to that on the other end of the break.
Right, it's because I guess, yeah, that's a big one, huh?
Stay tuned. I will tell your listeners it might not be what you're expecting when you hear my answer.
Oh, see, I like that. I really like that. You know, also I wanted to bring up, you mentioned in the last segment about flow and about kind of, you know, that you can't take complete ownership of those ideas or of what you're creating, even though you're the one putting in the work to actually sit in front of the screen and be in your process, that there's that element of not necessarily channeling, but kind of connecting to something greater and allowing that to flow through you. And I just wanted to share very briefly, I feel the same with my writing. You know, I'm a professional writer, but there'll be times when I'm writing and I'll kind of zone out and I'll come back and I'll read what I wrote. And, you know, I've written pages that I don't even kind of really remember that I wrote, but I did because I was there, you know, and it's just like the strangest thing. And I always thought with art that would be so much harder because I'm not very good at visual art. Like, I'm terrible, like, painter, drawer. I'm more at the crayon stage of your evolution that you talked about. But, you know, it's just, it's so interesting to me because any form, art isn't just painting or drawing. Art is all kinds of stuff. It's hooping, it's fire, it's flow, it's writing, it's making things. Being an artist is so much more than our just very kind of limited notion of what it means. And that's right?
Yeah, it's a lot of discipline, and then it's a lot of learning when to let go. It's like letting go for this break, we're going to go on.
Yes, exactly. So this is Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And when we will return, we will talk more about visionary culture and what the future holds for Android and digital art in general. So stay tuned. See you then.
Born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with
Align. Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
When you're up there on your own, where you
welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I have Android Jones here talking about visionary art, culture, truth, reality. And you can find him at www.androidjones.com for all of your magical artistic needs. So, Android, closing out the show in this last segment, I would love to hear from you. I know you teased us before the break, your definition of visionary culture.
Well, it's not so much a definition, but maybe to just expand upon my ideas around it. It's become a really loaded word in our lexicon, this visionary culture. I think a lot of people want to imagine that it stands for something that's new and groundbreaking and paradigm shifting. And I've been part of it for the better part of the last 9 years, almost a decade or so, and I've seen a lot of shifts and changes and evolutions of it over time. But I think it's really important to just remind all your listeners that, from my perspective, the visionary culture, it's still just another cage for your consciousness. It's still just a box and a bucket that I think a larger system of organization is herding people into. And that's not to say that there's not so many beautiful aspects and valuable components of it that we all share and experience firsthand at these festivals. But it's still, there's anything that calls itself something that people didn't subscribe to. I've been able to see a lot of stagnation and monotony in it, where things start looking the same. There's a certain expectation, and I mentioned, it's like a cage, like a hipster is a cage or a juggalo or any of these things. I think a lot of people have a romantic idea that this is something that sprung up naturally and organically. And just from my research, there's a lot of evidence that would suggest the contrary, that this was a very manipulated and controlled and planned type of a box for people to fit into.
So what do you think the future looks like? I mean, how is this, is it going to evolve or is it going to become more stagnated, or where are things going?
Well, what I like to do, and I think one of my goals too, is that I think the sooner that, visionary is seen as kind of an underground movement, all movements, they blossom and have their lifespan and then they kind of go into a slow demise. I think the sooner that we can get visionary culture these underground movements into a mainstream, then that will create the soil for a new underground to emerge. I think that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited to see what kind of new subcultures will end up taking shape and what kind of new ideas will spring forth from the ashes of what we're kind of dancing and celebrating in right now. And when it comes to being an artist, I use the term electromineralism. I don't necessarily identify myself with the visionary art, because I think really the biggest joy I get out of being an artist is trying to introduce something new. I mean, being an artist isn't about following in line with what other people's expectations are. It's really trying to break free of the boundaries and ideas and limitations that are set forth upon us this culture, which, as Terence McKenna says very astutely, that this culture is not your friend. Human imagination is absolutely infinite and boundless. And whenever we kind of like sign up for a certain jersey or get a tattoo of this or that, I think that we're greatly limiting the unlimited potential of what we can experience and express as human beings.
Dude, that's so awesome, because I really actually see exactly what you're saying. Reject all categories. Doesn't matter what it is and or how comfortable it is. It isn't your friend, because it's going to limit you. Because all of a sudden, I mean, I used to have this problem, when I first got into the whole burner scene, and I have not been to Burning Man. I'm going to my first burn this year, fingers crossed. But I was always like confused how it looks like they're all wearing the same uniform.
Yeah.
And like, I thought the idea was this like radical self-expression and all of these things, but everyone looks the same. So it's like, well, isn't the goal not to have everybody fit in the same box, but have everybody be just doing their own thing, and like we can kind of come together? Maybe it goes back to our mind, how we talked about our neocortex needs to categorize things to make sense of them. And so we kind of cling to these categories through mental schemas, but it's important to be conscious of the fact that they don't necessarily serve our growth and our evolution. And really what serves our growth and our evolution is rejecting those categories. So thank you for that. I think that's really profound.
You're welcome. Like,
for sure. And it gives me a lot to think about, man. So I want to just end the show by saying, you know, I was at Tipper with a gang of about 40 people from the Womp truck, just losing our minds up in row 50. And seeing you do those live visuals, for those who don't know, Android recently performed at Red Rocks with Tipper and Alex Gray, and he did live visuals with the music. And also, of course, the Planetarium show, absolutely insane. I just want to hear a little bit from you what it's like to do those live visuals and how that came about and where it's going, because that very much is kind of like the future for me.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, Tipper, I have so much of it, an unbelievable amount of respect and appreciation and awe for what he's capable of creating with his tools. And so it's a real joy to be able to be part of the experience that he gives. You know, Tipper, when I do visuals for a lot of different artists, but for Tipper, it's less about, a lot of times my goal for visuals is to create a kind of a shape-based a complement to the sounds that are being produced. But with Tipper, I feel that I'm almost his, like, his interdimensional visual translator. You know, I'm literally trying to give the alien languages that he's putting forth.
It's so alien. I'm sorry. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. So that was such a huge highlight. And it was so amazing to really, the best thing about performing live is just feeling everybody in that audience. Like, I kind of, like, right before I went on, I just looked back. I'm getting, like, kind of verklempt when I think about it, but I look back at the audience from the little visual pit there, and just, I could just feel everyone's support and excitement. It totally just, like, made me just, like, shed a little tear of joy and appreciation for having that opportunity to be part of something that was going to be a meaningful evening for so many people. That was real beautiful.
It was revolutionary, and it was such an unbelievable night. But and just the sound, that rig, I'm not a sound person, but a lot of my friends who work with Womp Truck are, and I heard all about how this sound rig has never been seen before, and you know, it's like the craziest rig of all time. And I mean, the sound, the energy, the vibe of all the people—it was just a really special moment, I think. And what I love what you're saying about alien. It's true, you're just translating that alien language that's coming down, and maybe that's all we're really doing here, is like remembering our alien language. You know, so I guess I gotta wrap up the show now. And you know, Android, you've been a fantastic guest. I've really enjoyed having you on.
Yes,
and hope to have you on again in the future, and I hope to connect with you at Sonic Bloom this weekend as well. And for those of you who haven't been to Sonic Bloom, it's happening this next weekend, June 18th to 21st at the Hummingbird Ranch in Rye, Colorado. You can see the Droid Forest. Android's doing a workshop on digital art. And I will be doing a workshop on sex, love, and open relationships. So, you know, my closing thought for the week is, everyone is an artist. Never be afraid to explore and experiment and be authentic in your artistic process, wherever it leads you. And, you know, the ladies will love you if you do it. So it's definitely worth it. So again, I want to thank you, Android, for sharing such inspiring information, and thank everybody who tuned in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly this week. I had such a blast, and you can join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific. You can also find me at thelucidplanet.com and connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And next week on Lucid Planet Radio, I get another special treat. I will be interviewing filmmaker and screenwriter Mitch Schultz, who, in case you didn't know, is the writer, director, and producer of the film DMT, The Spirit Molecule. And I am on my way to Firefly Gathering in Arizona tomorrow. If you're traveling in Flagstaff area, I would love to see you at my workshop down there. And come give me a hug. And if not, hopefully next weekend at Sonic Bloom. All right, everyone, take care. Have a wonderful rest of the week. And so much light and love to you. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to the hit show
Lucid Planet Radio with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.